I would like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. I'd like to begin with Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. Jesus is speaking here to Simon Peter and Andrew, his brother. They were fishermen, and Jesus came to them and spoke to them in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. He said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Again tonight, the subject that's on my heart are the two words that we began looking at this morning, where Jesus said, "Follow me." Before we begin to endeavor to read further and study in God's Word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God. And You've made us very keenly aware of our dependence upon Thee during this past week, as we've had so many different needs, those that have lost loved ones, and You've blessed them and comforted them. We thank You, Lord, that the great comforter, the only one who can really comfort in every way, was with Sister Donna's family and is still with their family. And we pray that You would continue to bless Brother Vern and all the other members of the family to feel the peace of God that passeth all understanding and feel the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Bless Sister Michelle, Sister Dawn, and all the other members of the family. Lord, we thank You again for being with Sister Callie. We thank You for the miraculous way that You intervened in her life. We thank You for sparing her life. We thank You for her not even having to have surgery. We praise You and give You all the praise, honor, and glory. But we know, Lord, that we've seen Your power and Your intervention in that matter, and we thank You for that. Thank You for blessing Brother Bill Tucker in his surgery. We thank You for the way that You've blessed doctors and nurses to be able to administer unto the needs of our bodies. We thank You for the surgery that they were able to perform, and we pray that You'd bless Brother Bill now, that You'd be with him and bless everything that the doctors have done, that it'll be for his good. You'll bless him with a good long life. Bless him and Sister Ann in a very special way. Wrap Your arms of love round about them and lift them up into a sacred nearness with Thee, and bless Brother Bill as he's recuperating, that he would feel the strength and power of God and the healing hand of God working in his body. Thank You for blessing Brother Terry in his surgery Friday morning. We thank You, Lord, for blessing him and being with him. Rather, Saturday morning, we thank You for the miraculous way that You spared his life time and time again, and pray that You would continue to bless Brother Terry and lift him up, restore him to his health. Thank You, Lord, for every member of this body. We thank You for every friend and every visitor that comes together to worship God with us. And we pray that You would help us all, that we might realize the brevity of life. That just as we've had a series of serious events during this past week that have all turned out in a wonderful way, that they could have all turned out in a different way. And we thank You, Lord, for being with us. We pray that during this coming week, as we don't know what lies ahead in our lives, we're thankful that our confidence is in Thee. As we have just sung, "My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary." Our faith is in Thee and in Your strength and in Your power. We have great confidence in Your mercy and Your grace, for we know that we're not worthy of even the least of Thy mercy. So thank You, Lord, for blessing us all. Thank You for blessing us and blessing other people that we love. Bless us now as we study Thy holy word. Teach us and instruct us. Help us to hear the words of Jesus and help us to follow Jesus every day of our lives. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We began studying this morning with the two words where Jesus said, "Follow me." Follow me. There are a lot of different things that we have to do before we ever actually begin to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And first of all, before we can ever begin to follow him in actual acts in our lives, we first have to follow him internally. There are things in our minds and in our hearts that we have to get right before we can physically begin to follow Jesus Christ. For example, the Scripture says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We have to have the mind of Christ That's part of following Christ, but we have to have the mind of Christ. For example, Jesus says, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And if we're not willing, we sang one of the verses, one of the songs that we sang tonight was, Thy will be done. And that song expressed exactly what Jesus is telling us, that we have to be willing to say to God in every aspect of our lives, not our will, but thine be done. So Jesus, when he came down into this earth, he says, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. So if I'm going to follow Jesus Christ, I have to submit my will to the will of the Father and honestly, truthfully be able to say, Thy will be done. In fact, David said, I delight to do thy will. Whatever God's will is, we need to pray, God, help me to love to do your will, to enjoy doing what you would have me to do. And I believe that when you have the mind of Christ, that you will be happy to do whatever it is that God calls on you to do. There are many other statements that Jesus made that help us to understand how we must internally be more like Christ and follow Christ in our thinking and in our hearts. We studied this morning for just a few minutes how Jesus said, or the Word of God says, and Jesus says about himself, he says, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to, what was the next word? But to minister. And that word minister means to be a servant, and it comes from the same word that we use to ordain one of the offices in the church, a deacon. That word minister is the exact same word as deacon. A deacon is to be a servant, but deacons are not to only be the servants. Pastors are to be servants, and everybody, all of us, if we're going to follow Jesus, that we will be servants. Now, I want us tonight to go through the life of Jesus. We're not going to cover his whole life, but I want us to begin as tonight going through the Word of God and looking at the life of Jesus Christ from the earliest time that we see him, the Word of God, describing him doing anything. And I want us to think about, can we follow Jesus in that way in our lives? And we're going to go through and just look step by step at the life of Jesus Christ and pray that God will help us. Lord, help me to live like Jesus lived. And I believe that if you look at the life of Jesus, I believe that as you back up and look at the life of Jesus, I believe that there is a progression that you have to follow in your life just as Jesus followed this particular order in his life. Now, what's the first thing that you remember that Jesus did? The first thing that you, and I'm not talking as a baby because we find a lot of things happening, but what's the first thing that you remember that Jesus did in his life? If we're going to follow Jesus, what we're going to do is look at his life. What's the first thing you remember that he did? Say it again. All right, he went to the desert and fasted and prayed, but we got some more steps before we get there. Okay, when he was about 12 years old, you remember how he was in the temple, and the Word of God says that while he was in the temple, he was teaching. There were doctors and lawyers. There were people that, there were great theologians that were there, and here was this 12-year-old child that was there teaching those important people, people that were much smarter, as we normally think, much smarter than an average 12-year-old, and Jesus was not an average 12-year-old, but Jesus was teaching people that had more education at that time than he had in his life. Jesus was teaching them. Now, if you're going to follow Jesus, did you know that one of the things that you will be able to do is you will be able to teach people that are smarter than you are? You follow that? You'll be able to teach people that may know a lot of things in other areas of life, and yet you'll be able to sit down with them with the Word of God, and you'll be able to talk to them about the things of God, and you can teach them things that they know nothing about. I believe that the children in this church, I believe there are children who are 12 and 13 and 14 years old who know more than many other people in this world, that they could teach other people. And so it is, if you're going to follow Christ, one of the things that you will be doing is you will be teaching other people. And we'll be looking at that all the way through the life of Christ. But I want you to remember that when he was 12 years old, he was teaching people. Now, you remember when his parents came and found him at the temple, and they began to rebuke him and say, "Where have you been? What have you been doing?" Of course, they were worried, and you know how parents react sometimes. And as they began to react the way that they did, he said these words. He said, "Wist ye not, or know you not, that I must be about my Father's business." Do you remember that? Now, there's something very important. That's the second thing I want us to look at tonight, is that Jesus said, "I must be about my Father's business." And that, if you're going to follow Jesus, that has to be something you accept and develop in your life, that you're going to be busy about your Father's business. I think probably most of you are busy people. How many of you think you are busy? I'm not talking about in that way. Just how many of you are busy? How many of you have a busy week? We all are busy people. And someone sent this into the Trumpet of Truth this past month. It says busy means the word B-U-S-Y, busy, the acronym. They use that word busy to come up with this. B means being, U means under, S means Satan's, and Y means yoke. Busy means being under Satan's yoke. Now I want you to think about that. Most of us are busy, but we're busy in that way where we are busy under Satan's yoke. How many of you have ever felt like you were very busy, but you were not busy in the way that Jesus was busy? Jesus says, the Word of God says, "I'm busy about my Father's business." And I get very busy doing all other kinds of things, but if I'm going to follow Jesus, what does the Word of God teach me there? I'm going to be busy in what way? I'm going to be busy about my Father's business. So, first thing I want you to remember is that Jesus was busy teaching people that were smarter than he was, and you understand what I'm talking about when I say that. Ultimately, they were not smarter than he was because he was God in the flesh. But as a 12-year-old child, he would normally think that they were smarter than he was. Second thing is that Jesus was busy about his Father's business. Now, if you go from that point in the life of Jesus, what's the next major event in the life of Jesus that you remember? What's the next thing that happened in his life? After he was 12 years old and he had been busy about his Father's business, what's the next thing that you remember happening in his life? Okay, before that, we're going to get to them. Yes, when he was baptized. You remember how he came to John the Baptist? John the Baptist was out there baptizing multitudes of people and refusing to baptize a lot of people. But as he came, as Jesus came walking up, you remember how John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And you remember what John the Baptist did to Jesus? John the Baptist carried Jesus and baptized him in the River Jordan. Now, if you're going to follow Jesus, will you submit to water baptism? Can you fully follow Jesus without submitting to water baptism? You cannot. So if we're going to follow Jesus, then we're going to have to be teaching other people much about the Word of God. Second thing is that we've mentioned is we have to be busy about our Father's business. And the third thing is we have to be baptized in water. We have to submit to water baptism. We have to follow the example that Jesus gave when he says it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. And he went down into the water with John the Baptist and was baptized. And then they both came up out of the water. So water baptism is another way that we need to follow Christ. Now we come to what Brother Mike mentioned. He said that we need to resist the temptations of the devil. After you finish the water baptism, how many of you remember the day you were baptized? How many of you remember the experience of water baptism? Great experience, wasn't it? But you know, right after Jesus was baptized, right after that, the Scripture says that he began to fast for 40 days and 40 nights, and then as soon as that fasting was over, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And as he began to be tempted, and the devil began to say one thing after another, Jesus responded to every temptation by using the Word of God. And so it is that if we're going to follow Jesus, what did Jesus say? "Follow me." How do you follow Jesus? You follow Jesus by teaching other people. You follow Jesus by being busy about your Father's business. You follow Jesus by submitting to water baptism. You follow Jesus by resisting the devil. And how can you resist the devil? It's only as you know the Word of God and take the Word of God and use the Word of God in saying to Satan, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Every person here is going to be tempted by the devil during this coming week. In fact, everybody here is probably going to be tempted by the devil before you go to bed tonight. You're going to be tempted. And as you are tempted, I ask you to please follow Jesus. That is, resist the temptation. As after Jesus, this is in Matthew chapter 4, and what we're doing is we're going right through the book of Matthew tonight. Matthew chapter 3, what happened in Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 13 through 17, what happened there? Matthew 3, 13 through 17, what happened? He was baptized. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, what happened there? That's when he was led in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and when he was tempted, he resisted the devil. Now you come down to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Matthew 4, verse 17. Here's the next major thing that the Word of God describes Jesus doing. The Scripture says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Now, you might not preach like Jesus preached, but if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you must teach people about the kingdom of heaven. Did you know that? If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you have to teach people about the kingdom of heaven. Everywhere he went, that's what he taught. So if you're going to follow Jesus, if you're going to follow his pattern, if you're going to follow his example, if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, you have to teach people about the kingdom of heaven. You can't teach people something that you don't know. How many of you can teach calculus? Hold up your hand. If you can teach calculus now, calculus, hold up your hand. Well, what about trigonometry? Don't be shy. Okay, we've got one. Okay. How many of you can teach addition? Hold up your hand. 2 plus 2. Okay, very good. We have many more who can teach addition. Now, the only reason that you can teach addition is because that's something you know. You can't teach that you don't know. The reason you can't teach calculus is because you don't know anything about calculus. The reason that you can teach about the kingdom of heaven is because you know something about the kingdom of heaven. You may not know everything there is to know, but you know something about the kingdom of heaven. And if you're going to follow Jesus, you have to be teaching people about the kingdom of heaven. And so it is that you need to be teaching others about the kingdom of heaven. Now, after the Scripture says in Matthew 4, 17, that Jesus began to teach people about the kingdom of heaven, I want you to come down to Matthew chapter 5. We're not going to go to everything Jesus did, but we're going to just kind of hit some of the main things that Jesus did so that you can know if you're going to follow Jesus, these are the things you have to do in your life. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, what was Jesus doing in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7? I'm going to tell you what he was doing. He was teaching his disciples how to live. Now I want you to listen carefully to that. He was teaching them about the kingdom of heaven. He's just been preaching to them about the kingdom of heaven. But now he's teaching his disciples how to live. And he is showing them the difference in what the world says and what the truth is. For example, look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Every time that I touch on this that we're going through, I want you to remember what Jesus is doing is showing there's a difference in what the world teaches, and there's a difference in what the religious world teaches and what the truth is that Jesus taught. And if you're going to follow Jesus, you have to give up the thinking of the world and teach the truth that Jesus Christ taught. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Jesus says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, 'Thou shalt not kill.'" Is that true? Thou shalt not kill? Was it fine to teach, "Thou shalt not kill"? Yes. "And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of, of the judgment. Do you see that? What's he saying? What's he saying? It's right, it's true that thou shalt not kill. But he's saying, I'm lifting up a higher standard than just thou shalt not kill. What is Jesus teaching us here? Not just don't kill, what's he saying? Don't be angry with your brother. Now, anger can lead to killing. And everything he talks about can lead to something else. But Jesus says, like Brother Philip says sometimes, nip it in the bud. Now, if you're going to nip it in the bud, if you're going to be sure you never kill, the first thing you have to do, the most important thing is, stop being angry with your brother. Now, that's an important teaching of Jesus Christ that we need to implement into our lives, but we need to teach others it's not enough not to kill. We need to stop being angry. And when you see somebody that is angry with someone else, what do you need to tell them? You need to talk to them about what Jesus taught right here. That is, don't be angry with your brother. Anybody know anybody here that's angry with your brother? You better get rid of it. Anger and hatred. Every now and then I heard this past week about somebody that's angry with somebody else. You better get rid of it. You better get rid of it. You're angry with somebody, you let it stay there, it'll be worse than cancer. It'll destroy your life. So Jesus says, don't be angry. Then he says in Matthew 5, come down to verse 27. He continues to show the difference, the higher standard that he's leading to and teaching. He says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Is that true? Thou shalt not commit adultery? Are we still to abide by that commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery? Jesus did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. He did not come to do away with thou shalt not commit adultery, but he came to say there's a higher standard than that. And he says in verse 28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now, brethren, don't tell me. I've heard preachers and people say, if you think it, you might as well do it. That's not what Jesus was saying. He's saying it's a sin to commit adultery. It is wrong to commit adultery. But it is also wrong to lust after a woman in your heart. You can commit adultery in your heart. That is not the same as literally committing adultery. However, it will cause trouble in your life to lust after other women. He comes on down and he gives about six different examples of the difference in what the world teaches and what Jesus is teaching. That's most of chapter 5. Then he comes to Matthew chapter 6 and he talks about how the world gives alms. How does the world give alms? Well, when they give to help somebody, what does the world do? They blow their horn. They toot their horn. They say, look what I did. And Jesus says, when you give your alms, he's talking to his disciples. He's talking to people that want to follow him. And he says to his followers, when you give alms, when you do something to help somebody, you do what you do without letting your right hand, without letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing, is Jesus teaching them, continuing to teach them in the Sermon on the Mount. Can you teach other people about you ought not to let other people know when you're doing good? Can you teach people that? Can you teach people that? Who do you need to teach first? Yes. You need to teach yourself first. Then you can go and teach others. And then after he talked to them about how to give, the next thing he taught them was how to pray. He says, when you pray, if you're standing up in the synagogue to pray to be heard of men, he says, you've had your reward. You've already been receiving the glory that you wanted. But he says, when you pray, you enter into your closet. And when you've entered into your closet, you pray, and you're to pray to your Father, and your Father that sees in secret shall reward you openly. He talks about a higher standard. He tells about fasting, same thing. Now come down in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Come down, please, for the sake of time. Come down to verse 24. And you go home and study all of this. We're just trying to go right along. We're coming up to something that's very, very beautiful and important. In Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. Now, what has he been doing in Matthew chapter 4, 5, 6, and this far in chapter 7? He has been teaching people. He's been teaching them the truth about the kingdom of heaven, and He's been teaching people about how to live. And I believe with all of my heart that's part of the function of the church, not the main function, but it is part of the function of the church, and it's part of the responsibility of every disciple of Christ. If you're going to follow Christ, you must be talking to other people about how to live. And then He says, in closing this whole passage on how to live, He says in Matthew 7:24, He says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." What is Jesus telling us here? He's telling us, if you follow me, and brethren, this is without exception that this will always be true. If you follow Jesus and you do what He says, your house, and that's true whether you consider your personal life or your family or this church or a state or a nation, any individual or any body of people that fears God and serves God and obeys God and does what God says, that house will not fall. Without exception. So do you want your house to endure? Well, you do what Jesus says. And it also is true that if you hear those sayings of Jesus and you don't do what He says, it is factual that your house will fall. Now, the erroneous teaching comes in when people begin to tell you that if you follow Christ, then you won't get sick and you won't have this problem and that problem. That's a lie from the devil. In fact, this passage teaches that even though you do what Jesus says, you still have the rain still come, the floods still come, the winds still blow, and they will beat upon your house. But God will be with you in your house, and God will protect your house, and God will bless your house if you have been a doer of God's Word and not a hearer only. Do you need to teach people that? Are there people that are afraid today? Are there people that are afraid today? Are there people wondering what's going to happen? What can I do to prepare for the future? I'll tell you what we can do. It's what I need to do and what you need to do and what all of us need to do. And that's be a doer of what Jesus has taught us to do. Your house will not fall if you'll just do what Jesus said. Now look at Matthew chapter 8. Has He done a lot of teaching? Where did He start teaching that we started describing His teaching? We've started in Matthew what? Okay. He taught by example, I guess, in Matthew 3. Some said Matthew 3. He did teach by example. When did He start teaching words about how to live? Matthew 4, verse 17 is where He started teaching on the kingdom of heaven. Now, He finished His teaching by Matthew 7:24-27. Now look at Matthew 8, verse 1. Look at Matthew 8, verse 1. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 says, "When He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him." Isn't that wonderful? See, I was sitting at the breakfast table when this opened up this morning, and I just wanted to shout. Here He's done all of this teaching. People have been watching Him. He has told people, "Follow Me." Some of them had followed Him, and they followed Him up on that mountain where He began to give the Sermon on the Mount. And when He preached that Sermon on the Mount and taught the people, the Scripture says, then when He came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. Do you know what we need to pray for today? We need to pray, "God, help me to follow You." And we need to pray that great multitudes would begin to follow Jesus Christ. Could America be saved? Yes. Can this church experience a revival like we've never seen before? Yes. Multitudes can experience abundant blessings from God, and the only thing that will bring it about, two words, follow Him, follow Him, follow Him. So great multitudes followed Him. And then I want you to notice what Jesus did, beginning with Matthew 8, verse 2. "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, 'Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean.'" Did he believe that? Did he believe that Jesus could make him clean? Leprosy was an impossibility to cure, but this man believed Jesus could heal him and make him clean. And the Scripture says in verse 3, "And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean." He touched him, he healed him, brethren. This man didn't maybe have leprosy. This man had leprosy. And nothing could heal him but Jesus. Therefore, if you will follow Jesus, what do you think is the lesson here for me and you? You're going to get the power to heal people if you follow Jesus? No, you won't have the power to heal people, but what will you have the power to do? Yes. Take them to the one who can. This is the beautiful part of this, see? That I can follow Jesus in this way, in this way, in this way. And there are many things that Jesus did that I can do the same things that He did. But Jesus being God in the flesh, there are some things Jesus did I cannot do and I'll never be able to do and nobody else can do. But the wonderful thing is that even though I can't heal you and you can't heal someone else, I know who can heal you. Do you know why we were on our knees Wednesday night for little Callie? It's because we couldn't heal her and we knew the doctors couldn't touch her, but we knew who could touch her. You know why Sister Tatum asked for prayer for her daddy? She knows I can't reach him. Nobody else can reach him. But she knows who can reach him and bring him to his knees. I believe in the power of God. And I believe that we need to carry people to Jesus and say, Jesus, we can't reach him, but you do whatever's necessary and you heal that person. This person is sick, whether we talk about physically or spiritually or mentally. There are people that are very sick and you can't fix the problem. But you know what you can do? You can take them to Jesus and say, Jesus, it's up to you. If he's going to be healed, you have to be the one to do it. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. And then the Scripture begins to go through one healing after another. I want you to come down to Matthew chapter 8. We're not near through, so please follow carefully. You can't heal, but you can take people to Jesus who need healing. I want you to remember that, but come down to Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 18. Look in your Bibles at Matthew 8, starting in verse 18. "Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about Him, He gave commandment to depart unto the other side." What are they going to fix Him to do? What are they fixing to do? There were great multitudes around Jesus. So He told His disciples, let's go on the other side. They were fixing to get in a boat and go on the other side to get away from the multitudes. Now all of these were not here to follow Christ. They were just here for the fishes and the loaves and the multitudes of other natural blessings. And He says, let's go to the other side. Verse 19 says, "And a certain scribe came and said unto Him, Master, I will follow Thee." I will what? I will follow Thee. Now what have I been trying to preach to you this morning and tonight? What did Jesus say? Follow Me. How many of you ready to follow Jesus? How many of you want to? Oh, I'll follow You, Jesus. I'll follow You, Jesus. And what's the problem? We say we will, but what often happens? I'll follow You, Lord. That's what this man said, isn't it? I'll follow You. The Scripture says, "And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head." That was a strong doctrine. He's saying, you've got to be poor. You may have to be very poor to follow Me. You have to be willing to leave everything to follow Me. Verse 21 says, "And another of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, suffer Me first to go and bury My father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow Me, and let the dead bury the dead." You follow that? Follow Me. Now come down to verse 23. "And when He was entered into a ship, His disciples," what? Were there people that did follow Him? Now when they got in the ship and followed Him, now again, what does the modern religious world say about following Jesus? What's the common theology? If you'll follow Jesus, then what? Brother Rich, what do many people say? Yes, you follow Jesus, you won't have any troubles. Now, were these disciples that followed Jesus right here, that got in the ship to go to the other side, Only his disciples got in the ship to go to the other side. They followed him. Did Jesus tell them to get in the ship to go to the other side? They were doing exactly what he told them to do. Now listen, verse 24 says, "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep." Jesus was asleep. Now, what's the point there? I want somebody to tell me, what's the lesson right here that all of us need to remember about following Jesus? What do you think the lesson is? Storms will come. Yes. You follow Jesus, you need to understand the reality is you will have storms in your life. The Word of God says, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You will have storms. You will have trials. You will have tribulations. And so what's the point? The point is Jesus is going to be right there with you. And even in the storms of life, do you remember what he did right here when the storms came up? Verse 25 says, "And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish." We're talking about we're fixing to go to hell. We don't want to go to hell, save us. No, they were talking about they were in bad trouble in their lives. They needed deliverance in their lives right then from the trouble they were in. They said, "Lord, save us, we perish." And he said unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Listen, these disciples of Jesus who followed him, they saw the power of God. They saw the power of God manifested. And they would not have seen the power of God manifested had they not followed him. Now they saw the storm, but they also saw the power of God in delivering them from the storm. I wish we had all night to go through the Bible. Don't you? Follow Jesus. I want you to just think about that in closing. Just follow Jesus. As you follow Jesus, there will be a lot of things you can do just like Jesus did. You can walk right in His steps, but you're going to reach a point where Jesus walked a little further than you're going to be able to walk. But you stay awake and you'll find that Jesus is going to show you some power and some miracles, and He's going to lift you up and He's going to bless your life in a special way in the midst of all the storms and troubles of life. Troubles are going to come, but the shepherd will not forsake the sheep who follow Him. May God help us to be good sheep and follow our shepherd every day is my prayer for Christ's sake.